Gang, we're back. This is episode 251 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal DeQuincy.
Hey, man, what was up with that energy? You brought
it
today. I needed
it. Yeah. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
Needed that last second jolt.
Mm-hmm.
Get me going. It's the last big thing I'm doing this weekend, so.
Yeah, because somebody on this podcast decided to wake up at 4 in the morning to watch some wrestling. On Saturday. Wasn't me.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
I thought about it, but I was like, I'm not going to be 100% attentive to any of the matches. I mean, I fall asleep when the pay-per-views come on at like 7, 8 o'clock. I'd lack of sleep at 4 in the morning. I'd be done before the main event started.
It helped that I didn't have anything planned
mm-hmm.
for until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But still not great losing a whole day, you know, because I slept most of the day after that, after the show.
Well,
typically not how I like to spend my Saturdays, but there's something different.
That's how I would like to spend my Saturdays, but I can't because I have too many bodies around, children, cats, dogs. Someone's going to drag me out of bed before I want to. But overall, how was it?
Good show. I mean, it's getting us, you know, moving us along to WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, the main goal. No big major surprises, really.
Yeah. Which I guess you shouldn't expect anything because there any surprise is going to be hell for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, why waste anything now when we're 6 weeks out?
Right. And, you know, it's just, I would say it was an A show for storytelling and
mm-hmm.
you know getting us to WrestleMania. Action wise, it's fine. Nothing memorable. There was, you know, like we talk about the Montez Ford spot of a couple of years ago in the Elimination Chamber. There wasn't anything like that. Spoiler alert if you haven't already seen the show. But still, you know, I mean, I've seen it was a good show. Like, it's weird. It's almost, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it's almost like you can say they don't put on bad shows anymore.
Yeah.
So,
That's how I feel.
Which is
like
good.
if
Yeah.
every show, the base is going to be a B, like you're at the very least, you're going to get a B show. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get like an A plus. Oh my God, you have to watch what happened on Raw or SmackDown show.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can make a show that where your customer, your fan base go home every night, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week, you're doing some damn good work.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'm gonna have it on the background while we do this podcast. Kairi Sane is just kicking all over poor Candice LeRae. Before we start talking about baseball, have you seen these Orioles, man?
The Orioles? Oh,
the
Orioles.
Orioles. These
You know,
space dunk Orioles.
I saw them in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized that they were near the Oreos, but I didn't I was trying not to stop for Oreos. So I didn't investigate that they were actually Oreos themselves. But I told myself those are where the Oreos usually are. Like, what's going on here? But no, I didn't investigate.
Well, they are Orioles. My son won them because his stomach is bigger than his eyes. And so we got a pack. And these things have Pop Rocks in the cream.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you'll eat it and you'll just feel the tingling buzzing in your mouth. They're I said it before, I'll say it again, Oreo just throwing anything they can to put out to the masses.
Right.
This,
Your thoughts?
if I had to grade this, I'd probably get it a C.
Okay.
Like, it's fine. It's a good cookie, but honestly, they have better flavors, and also I would just get the regular ones instead of messing with these again.
That sounds, I'm good. I'm glad to hear that because I don't like surprises in my food, and I feel like a Pop Rock is the kind of surprise I don't want. I don't want that. I'll get Pop Rocks separately. I'll keep them separate. I'll get Pop Rocks and eat some Pop Rocks and I know exactly what to expect. But if it's hidden in an Oreo, I don't know if that didn't sound great when you said that. I was like, okay, this is a little bit much for me.
Oh, speaking of more cookie news, I stopped at our local Kroger, and guess who's outside?
Girl Scouts?
You know it.
What's that time, huh?
Yeah,
Damn.
and I was glad to see him because I always use the thin mint cookie in my life. Did you know the boxes are now $6?
I did not.
Inflation through the roof. They were five like a year, either last year or the year before. And before the pandemic, they were four. What's going on? What happened to my country, man?
Inflation and technology, because you remember when you didn't have cash on you and you didn't want to deal with it. Like, no one wants to say no to like little children. Like, no, I can't buy this today. Leave me alone. But now they're like, oh, it's okay. We have a credit card. Like, we take credit cards. It's like, damn it. Like, I'm trying to do good here. Like,
Oh man.
trying to do good for myself. You know, like, I'm trying to behave.
Yeah, that's how they got me. The first time I was like, oh, let me just get like a 20 from the machine, you know, after I check out, I'll buy a couple of boxes. And I went over there, got two boxes, and they didn't have change. And so they asked to use my card. And I was like, oh, here you go.
Oh
It's
man.
real quick and like,
It's dangerous.
you know. Look, if you can't trust Girl Scout cookies, we need to just end the entire human race. Start all over.
No, I can't trust myself from buying 80 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Those Thin Mints are the best.
Buddy, the only reason I haven't torn through these three boxes is because I put the bag down and forgot where I put it. I can see it right now. It's in my eye. As soon as this podcast is over, I'm ripping open the sleeve.
If this podcast is significantly shorter than the other ones people out there are used to listening to, you'll know
Look, if you look up and you just see me gone from the screen and I didn't tell you,
why.
just
Right.
assume I'm opening up a box.
There we go. Okay. That's fair too.
All right. So enough about the cookies and everything. Let's talk about a little baseball. But before we get to the National League East, did you see the news that Jeff Passan tweeted out early this morning?
No, it didn't.
God damn it. Nah, I just forgot his name. This is Cody Bellinger back with the
Yes.
Cubs.
Okay.
3 years, $80 million. He has an
Wow.
opt out after each of the first 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, good for him.
Yeah, good for
That
him.
is that's a huge deal for him. I mean, I think we both kind of I think we both kind of felt like maybe he needs one more year to prove that he is indeed back. But the Cubs, I guess, felt comfortable enough or felt desperate enough, I don't know, however you want to look at it, to just go and lock him up for, those next 3 years.
And if he has another year this year, like he had last year, you know, he's going to opt out, look for that big market deal. It's kind of like the Carlos Correa contract that he signed with the Twins. You know, you have security if you suck, and if you're great, you can find somebody out there that's willing to pay you a nine-figure deal. Yeah. So I believe we both picked the un over on the Cubs. Let me double check.
Yes.
Yeah, because the number was 81. We both went over, and in fact, you picked them to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost contingent on them re-signing him. But I felt like if they did that, it would just only help their chances, and then here we are.
Good. Good. Yeah. That's all I want. I just wanted to bring that up. We're gonna have more of these happening as the these podcasts go on, because who
There's
is
a
this?
lot of players
Still like
unsigned.
Snell, Montgomery, and Matt Chapman still unsigned, and those are the three biggest names left in the off season right now. That doesn't change anything. I think the Cubs still go over. I think they're a good team. Maybe one of my wild card participants, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yeah.
But we are starting with, oh well, not sorry. We're continuing our podcast series talking about the NL East. And we're going from bottom to top with the Washington Nationals. Last year, the Nationals finished 71 and 91, fifth in the East, missed the playoffs, which honestly, 71 wins, more than I thought they had.
This is just like this is just a bad team. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I don't know how to be more sensitive to the
Oh,
fans.
let's not be sensitive. Let's be honest. Let's tell the people what they need to hear. This is a bad team. Payroll for this year, $135 million.
Most of it going to Steven Strasburg, right? I assume.
You're correct, but he's not the highest paid player this year.
You
You
kidding?
guess? Nah, he'll make $35 million this year. Do you know who's above him at 35.4?
For the Nationals?
For the Nationals, yes, sir.
Oh, Patrick Corbin.
Yes.
Still, that's awful.
Gave him that huge $140 million contract, and he has not been worth it. I think he had an ERA in a five last year. I'm gonna double check that before I go
And the year
anywhere.
before, and the year before, I
Oh,
believe.
are you looking at it right now?
No, but I'm just let's see. He's been with them since.
2009, he signed from Arizona. So, damn, you weren't far off. So last year, 5.2 ERA, 2020, 6.31 ERA, 2021, 5.82, 2020, the COVID year, 4.66. The only year he had a decent ERA was 2019, the year they won the championship, an ERA of 3.25.
The first year he signed,
Yeah.
he got his money and he got his ring, and he said, "I'm good. I am just going to coast through the remainder of this contract."
But he said, "Hey, I'm gonna be out there. I'll pitch my 30 games a year. You're gonna wish I didn't, but I'm gonna be out there, baby." Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. He has been
Bad, you know.
healthy the entirety of this contract. This is not like Anthony Rendon or
Steven
some
Strasburg.
Steven Strasburg, where he got hurt and he hasn't bounced back. This guy has had he's averaged 30 starts. Yeah, you're right, since signing, except for 2020, of course, COVID year. But I mean, he still started 11 games.
Yeah. He's there, but just ineffective. Which is it? I'm trying to think, is that better or worse than Steven Strasburg, who isn't there at all?
It's got to be worse.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's like he hasn't missed a start. He's been healthy this entire time, and he hasn't performed up to the contract at all after that first season.
I can't believe those two guys make over $35 million this year, and no one else on the team makes more than eight.
Oh my God.
Crazy
I'm sure a
man.
lot of the guys on that roster are saying
Probably so, but
the same thing.
honestly, if anyone on this roster is saying that, they need to take a look at the back of their baseball cards, because there's not a lot of talent on this team. Like
No.
most of the talent is still in the minor leagues. It's going to take another couple of years for this team to be above 500. Let's see. Offseason moves. They signed outfielder slash first baseman Joey Galloway. Galloway. Joey Gallo, my bad. 1 year, $5 million deal. So, oh, it's a decent signing. Gallo's only 30. He might have another year or two if he can put it all together. Also has a mutual option for 2025. So whenever I go through and I look to see the offseason moves of who teams brought in and who they lost, I'm not gonna go through and put everyone down on the list. You have to have some kind of talent. So I always go, my rule is you have to have at least one war, either this past year or an expected one war next year for me to get you on this list. So I don't mean to be rude when I say that the Washington Nationals lost no one of importance to free agency. There's just nothing there.
No.
And the biggest thing about the Nationals is what's going on with Steven Strasburg's contract. So do you remember last year they were supposed to have like a retirement ceremony for him?
No, but it doesn't surprise me if that was canceled.
So for you, for those of you who don't remember, the Nationals had planned out a day that they were going to basically announce Steven's retirement. He was going to come to the ballpark. They were going to make an entire ceremony, a big to-do about it, and it got canceled. And the rumor is it got canceled because the team and Strasburg couldn't come to an agreement over how much money they had left to pay him, or they're going to pay him, because he's still under contract for this year and 2 other years. I say that to say, at the beginning of spring training, I can't remember if it was the Washington manager or the owner, they basically said they expect Steven Strasburg to show up, even though everyone in the organization and Steven himself know that he can't pitch anymore. So they're just being like they're being petty over this money. Like, I understand it's a bunch of money. It's $35 million a year for the next three, but still, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you what are you gonna do? You're gonna fine him if he doesn't show up? It just feels like it's a situation where it's gonna go to the Players Association, and they're gonna have to make a fuss about it. Like, the guy can't pitch, he's injured, he's basically retired, and you guys are dicking him around for money that,
That you owe him.
yes, that y'all agreed to. It's not like he went out here, was racing four wheelers and fell off and got injured. No, he was out here pitching and just having to get hurt and have an injury that he couldn't come back from. That's part of the game, baby.
You knew the risk, especially with a guy like him who's already blown his elbow out.
You rolled the dice on that contract and it came out snake eyes. Now you got to pay. Don't be
Yeah.
mad. Don't be fussy.
That's what insurance is for. Take it up with the insurance company. But, you know, it's a bad look when you fight the players on this, when you fight, you know, a guy who won you a title very recently.
Yeah, so that's the only thing of interest I could find about this team.
It's like, yeah, the behind the scenes stuff. There's not much else going on. I mean, look, they have some promising young pitchers. The top of their rotation, Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore. But even they're not projected to like blow things out the water this year. They're projected to be average at best. And when your top one and two pitchers are projected to only be average at best, I mean, you're not giving your team any chance to succeed at all this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're very young. Gray is 26. Gore is 25. Like, they're still very young. They still have time. But like you said, this year is just not it. This is a multi-year thing.
Yeah. And looking at their lineup right now, I don't think there's going to be one above average starter.
No, I mean, CJ Abrams at the top of their lineup is projected to steal almost 40 bases.
Look at that on base percentage, though, man. On base percentage of 307. That is not what you want from your
Yeah,
leadoff, man.
I mean, how do you get 37 steals if you're not getting on base?
Yeah, you
And
can't
that,
steal first.
right. And that's it, man. I mean, like, Victor Robles was a guy that, he showed flashes during that run, during their run. And let's see. I mean, he had one good season back in 2019 when they won.
Yeah.
That's when everybody was doing well for
Yeah.
this team.
Everything came together that magical year.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, he has either been, well, no, 2020 played 52 games out of 60. From 2021 on, it looks like he's been hurt. So he really hasn't had a chance to progress from that age 22 season back in 2019, because he's 26 now. He'll be, what, 27, I guess, during the season. So even though he is not project, I mean, even though he's projected to be their number nine hitter, I mean, according to FanGraphs, this, age 27 year, this could be a make or break for him.
And they do
If
have some
he,
talent coming up. James Woods, Dylan Cruz, Brady House, like all these guys are top 100 MLB prospects. Cade Cavilli, like all of them, top 100 MLB prospects. But none of them are expected to come up this year, except for Cade. I think Cade's actually starting the MLB.
I think they have him in the bullpen, actually. Oh no, he is on the injured list.
Oh no.
Tommy John in March of 2023. So he's coming back, it looks like.
All right, so he'll be back, but it's gonna be a minute. Like I wouldn't expect him to be great this year. Maybe he's okay above an ERA around 4.
Right.
Come back. So they have a bunch of talent in the minors. It's just gonna take a while to get up here. Like next year, maybe they're the team that's itching towards five, that's scratching and fighting towards 500, but I just don't see it for this team.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that doesn't need that, like, they really don't even have anybody that's, like, off the bat, at least. I mean, that could change throughout the season, but, like, there aren't any trade chips that I see,
Yeah.
that could,
The only thing you like you can hope for is maybe Joey Gallo.
yeah, but the guy hit 177 last year and he's projected to hit 170, 191.
It's slim pickings, man. The slimmest of pickings in this team,
Yeah.
man. So you have your 2024 statement motto. I'm gonna
Ooh.
say motto for the Washington Nationals.
Washington Nationals 2024. We're just trying to get to 2025.
This. I had to sit down. I actually thought about all these today. So 2024 for the Washington Nationals, flags flying Fly Forever. Remember 2019? Remember how great that was?
All right.
You are on this team because we're gonna play it. We're gonna play a replay before every game, so you remember what it was like 5 years ago.
2020, Washington Nationals 2024. Hope you haven't forgotten 2019.
Yeah. Giving away replica rings, baby.
Hope you're still hanging on to 2019.
Yeah.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, like I said, they won 71 games last year. Over under for the Nationals, 58.
Man, I'm gonna say over because man, you just don't want to see anybody lose less than 58 games any time.
I mean, you may not want to see it, but this might be the team to do it.
I mean, right, but it's like, oh, that's rough to see. I don't want to. I don't want to say that this bad team is like so bad that they're gonna take a 13 game drop from last year. I think they lose less, or they win fewer than they won last year, fewer than 71 games. But I don't think they make a 13 game, collapse. I could see them winning maybe 60. 62 games. But
Oh
man,
man,
13 games is a
58.
big drop from the year before.
You win 62 games, and that still means you lost 100 games. I'm taking a slight over.
Okay.
Like 60, 62 wins. Like, I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, which is crazy to say because it wasn't like they were that great. But 50, well, I got to see the math on this. I can't believe they have them that low. Although I can believe that because we just talked shit about them for the past 10 minutes. So I'm going over, slight over.
Yeah, same here.
All right. Moving on to the next team. Yeah, my screen wants to work properly. The Miami Marlins. Last year finished 84 and 78, third in the East. They were the fifth seed in the playoffs. This is how I remembered that they were in the playoffs because I completely forgot.
It was
And
one
they
game, right?
two games they lost
Two
to the
games,
Phillies
okay.
in the wild card round. So congratulations to them. You know, they make the playoffs, so that's a nice success. And we saw last year, you know, the Diamondbacks were a six seed, so you get in, you can make a run.
Right. Anything's possible with some of these teams. Not all of them, but some.
Some 2024 payroll, we got at an estimated $120 million. Nothing big. And off-season moves. They just went out and signed shortstop slash second baseman Tim Anderson, 1 year, $5 million contract. But they lost outfielder DH Jorge Soler to the Giants. I think they come out losers right there.
Yeah. That's a bit, I mean, that's a big loss. I mean, that's a major bet in the middle of your order.
Yeah. Yuri Gurriel still out there. He's signable. 40 years old. Get at him. Oh, also, they've lost Sandy Alcantara. He's out for the season, recovering from Tommy John surgery.
Oh no, when did that happen? In
So
October.
this, yeah, the surgery happened in October. He's
Oh,
going to
that's
miss
huge.
all of 2024. Former NL Cy Young winner.
Yep. Man, that is rough.
Yeah, look at this team. They have some pieces I like. Like I like Jesus Luzardo, Enery Perez, starting pitchers, and in the lineup, Tim Anderson. It can't be that bad, right? He couldn't have lost everything, right?
I mean,
He's
for
only
$5 million,
30.
right? For $5 million, it's worth a shot.
Where is
Just
Stassel?
don't pick any fights. No more, don't pick any fights this year.
Let's see, 245 average on base percentage, 286. Ooh. Oh, that's disgusting. That's illegal. Put him in jail. God damn. Don't get any fights. Get your family life situated. Keep, keep your wife and your baby mama happy. I think that's the thing. I know Tim Anderson most for having an outside child and keeping his wife.
Look, this is an interesting team. I think this is the kind of team that is they're the real big downside to them is that they play in the National League East. This is a team that's good enough. They look good enough on paper to win in like the National League Central, the American League Central, even. I mean, Luis Arraez, I mean, the guy was flirting with 400 most of last season. I mean, the guy can hit. He's a good hitter at the top of your lineup. Josh Bell, has still got some pop in his bat. Jazz Chisholm, whatever you think about him, I mean, the guy was on the cover of it was MLB
The show, yeah, it'll be
The
the show.
Show. And he had a good year. I mean, 19
Did
homers,
he?
22 steals. Yeah, no, I see. Yeah, 304 on base. Slugging was not bad, 457 for, a center fielder. I mean, that's not bad, but yeah, that on base is
For a guy learning center field in the
right.
majors, that he moved from second to center to fit Luis. How you say his last name? Arias? All right, let's make sure. You talk about a guy with some pop in his bat. Look at Jake Berger, their third baseman. Not
Yeah.
too 34 home runs last year. Like, you look at this lineup and you can see a team that can do some damage. I'm not going out here saying they're the Braves or the Phillies or anything, but you say, okay, Arias, he's gonna spray hits all over the ballpark. Tim Anderson bounce back a full year of Josh Bell. Berger just repeating, well, getting better. Over last year, Chisholm having a bounce back. Like, you can see this team like being interesting offensively.
I think all around you can see them being interesting. That rotation is crazy young.
No one older than 27.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's makings of a good team all over here. It's just, like you said earlier, they're in the wrong division for
Right.
this.
Yeah, I mean that's really their biggest problem is that they're not the brave. Caves or the Feast.
And they lost their ace for the year. So the biggest story I had about the Miami Marlins was Kim Ng. At least how you say it. Well, she stepped
Ing.
down. I'm sorry, repeat that.
Probably Ing.
Ng, okay, Kim Ng stepping down as GM because the owner tried to hire a president of baseball operations over her instead of just giving her the job after what she did last year. She's like, all right, well, good luck with this. I'm out of here. It's the same thing. Well, that happened to Derek Jeter. It's like, you're trying to put someone above me when I've shown that I can do my job plus the other job. Fuck you. I think that's good. Why are there's just some teams that are just so poorly run because ownership won't get out of the way. Like, I know you made a lot of money. Congratulations. You made money in the field that you made your money in. That doesn't mean you know shit about baseball.
You made your money in the field to buy a baseball team. You didn't make your money in baseball to buy a baseball team. Like, you need to remember that and let the baseball people run the baseball team.
It's like, why'd you give me this money if you're not gonna let me run the team the way I need to be run?
Yeah, I mean, do you know if she signed anywhere, if she signed with another team?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because if she does, if and when she does, and contributes to that team's success in any capacity, that's gonna always haunt this Miami team. Or it's always gonna it's gonna be a cloud that hangs over. I think they've done enough to haunt themselves. Even before that's maybe haunting isn't maybe haunting is a little harsh, but that's something that it's like you don't want to see good people go. I mean, that's how you maintain success.
And getting rid of people because you think you're the smartest person in the room is how you maintain failure. So 2020 mod 2024 motto for these Marlins.
Okay, so they won 84 games last year. What are they projected?
Oh, we're going to, oh, get the motto out. You want the motto out first?
No, what's the model?
I'll give you a projection because you asked for 80 games.
80 games. Where's the model?
Motto.
Motto. Oh, motto. I'm sorry. Motto. sorry. Miami
Yes.
Marlins 2024. Miami Marlins 2024. We're playing in the wrong division again.
Again.
Yeah.
When was the last time they played in the wrong division? Or are you just saying,
Last year.
oh, last year. We're always in the wrong division. For me, the motto is, baby, come back. You can blame it all on me.
Right.
Don't understand why these people get in these positions to be successful and make all this money and don't do everything they can to make sure that their baseball team is successful. Like, why? Like, it's ego. The ego that makes you rich is also the ego that makes you think I can run a baseball team.
Especially a team that has historically had issues with bringing anyone to the ballpark. Like you could always, there's always teams that, good or bad, they're always fans are always going to show up to the ballpark. And like you've always reminded me, like, if it makes money, then why would you do anything different than what you're doing already? You're gonna keep making money with people coming to the stadium and buying jerseys and hot dogs and beer and all that stuff. But this is a team that doesn't always put asses in the seats. Like,
Well,
because it is Miami, because like the cliche is there's infinite things better to do than go see a baseball game when you live in Miami.
I can either see this sorry baseball team or I can go to the beach and look good
Right.
for 3 hours. Which one am I gonna pick?
It's weird that this organization doesn't do everything in its power to ensure that it is profitable by putting butts in the seats, by fielding a good team, by hiring the right people to run the team. It's baffling.
No team. So, like I said, they're over under 80 wins. Last year they won 84.
Ooh, man, they did lose on Alcantara for the year, but he didn't have a great season last year. I think he went 7-12, and they still won 84 games. So I will go ahead and say over as well. I could see them winning 84 again.
All right. I'm going under.
Okay.
No particular reason. It's just I'm looking at these teams like, damn, we're getting a lot of overs. We gotta be haters every once in a while, right? All right. Moving on to the next team in division. It is the New York Mets.
The nine Mets.
Yes, the nine Mets. Finished 2023, 75 and 87. They were fourth in the East, missed the playoffs entirely. It's an overall terrible, awful season for these Mets.
Had the highest payroll in baseball history. Correct me if I'm wrong.
They still got one of the highest in baseball history. Payoff for this upcoming year, $314 million. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I forgot to put in all the player benefits and the arbitration, pre-arbitration bonus. That is $327 million.
Still trending in the wrong direction for this as constructed team.
They're paying Texas $30 million for the Max Scherzer trade, $26 million to Houston for Justin Verlander trade, $8 million to Baltimore for the James McCann trade. A crazy amount of people making over $20 million. Pete Alonso 20.5. Going Edward Diaz 21 million, Starlin Marte 20.7, Brandon Nemo 20.5, Francisco Lindor 34. You get rid of all those huge salaries and your payroll goes down like $2 million. That's crazy.
What was Pete Alonso making?
This is last year arbitration, 20.5 million. So this off season, they went out, signed a pair of pitchers. Luis Severino gave him 1 year, $13 million, which kind of feels like an overpay. He's one of those guys like he's got the talent, it just never came together for more than like a year, I think, while he's pitching for the Yankees. And then they also signed Sean Manaea, 2 years, $28 million. And then sign, we talked about this a little bit last podcast. Center fielder Harrison Barnes. I'm sorry, Harrison Bader. I'm just getting names all kind of messed up today. 1 year, $10.5 million. Signed him away from the Reds.
Yeah,
Yay.
Severino has been hurt a lot the past 5 years, 6 years almost.
Again, he's one of those guys, he's got all the talent, can't put it together to save his life. Because if he could, he'd still be a Yankee.
Yeah, and but it looks like, he's getting a Cody Bellinger type deal. It's 1 year. See what we got. See what you still got. If you got anything.
Yes, and they'll
Sean
need him.
Manea. What's that?
I said they'll need him because
Yep.
Kota Singa, he got shut down. Diagnosed
Already.
with a moderate posterior capsule strain in his right shoulder. No timetable for his return, and he's expected to begin the season on the IL.
Man, I mean, when it Mets 2024, when it rains, it pours.
Oh, you already got your motto in?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, since you gave yours, I'll give mine. 2024, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I can't imagine telling anyone going into
Off and go a Kodai.
Oh, nice. Going into the last year, like, oh, they're not gonna have Scherzer or Verlander on this team. All those big money signings they did, re-signings and everything like that, every one of them's gonna fuck up, and they're not gonna finish over 500. And they did all the things that we want owners to do, to go in there, make the money, get the people, prove that you're a big market team. They did that last year, and it just went to shit for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those cautionary tales of being, over, or overextending yourself, writing too many checks.
They paid Brandon Nimmo, what was it, $162 million last year, and they're already moving him from center to left. This is the second year of the contract, folks.
Look, offensively, this team has it. You've got Alonso, who's, going to hit 45 home runs again or something like that, something in that range. Starling Marte, who didn't hit great last year, but is just Jack City, should hit well. I mean, just considering how jacked, chiseled he is. But but you hope when you're built like that. It's like, come on, man.
Too many muscles, not enough tendons holding it together.
Yeah. Lindor is man, like, he's the last, he guaranteed that he would be the last shortstop to get a $350 million contract anytime soon, because he was worth that kind of money when he signed, but he has not played up to it since. He's been good, but if I'm paying someone $35 million a year, I would hope they would be great.
No, I agree with you. I mean, he hasn't had the year, or he didn't have the year offensively that we expected from him last year. I still think he's only 30, so he can bounce back, turn around. But I'm just not sure where the rest of the offense is coming from this team. Like Jeff McNeil, I think he was didn't he win the Batting title 2022? Or he was
I
up there
believe he
close
did.
to he fell back to earth last year. This team, I like this team, but there's still many holes. Harrison Bader, he's like the baseball version of God, what's that guy that we used to have on the Astros, on the Rockets? Super annoying. Oh man, what's his name? He took I'm gonna have to look him up, but he's a guy like he's great to have on your team, but you're playing against him, you hate him. And I didn't hate anyone more on that Yankees team in 2022 than
Harrison
Harrison
Bader.
Bader. Like, oh, we can get Judge out and Stanton's no problem, but this motherfucker's hitting home runs.
Well, who's this guy on the Rockets? What
Well, he used to
is
be on
he?
the Rockets.
Yeah, no,
He was
but
super annoying.
what position?
Point guard.
Pat Beverly.
Thank you, Pat Beverly.
Yep.
How do we work it out? So the biggest story that I had with the Nets, we already talked about one, Kota Senga being out for we don't know how long. And look at their starting pitching. Who do you like? Like, I think that's gonna be the biggest issue. Like, there's no one on this team, starting pitcher wise, that I think it's going to be above average.
No, I agree. I think Quintana will be average because that's pretty much what he's been his entire career. Average with a sprinkle of above average seasons
Let me
in
ask
between.
you, out of the five guys on this list, Quintana, Severino, Manaea, Hauser, and McGill, will any of them have an ERA under four?
Excuse me. No.
No? All right.
No.
I was waiting. You had me on bated breath. Like, is she gonna bring some stats to the table to make me change my mind? No, just simple no.
In a word,
No. Yeah, that's gonna kill them. Like, they might go out there and be able to score five, six runs a game, but their starting pitcher is gonna give up those runs before the third inning.
yep, 6 or 7 runs in total. They still have the
I'm watching
second highest paid
oh, sorry.
closer.
Yeah, I'm watching Elimination Chamber and Bianca Belair just slapped Tiffany Stratton. I was like, oh no, my faves are fighting.
Can't
No,
we just get along?
I need y'all to get along. I love you both. Please stop. But yeah, I mean, that's great for Edwin Diaz. He's got generational wealth. I don't know how many saves he's gonna be picking up on his team. Not with this pitching.
Projected 35.
See, that's gonna be half their wins. Maybe even more. All right. Another question I have for the Mets. Are they gonna re-sign Pete Alonso? Because they've been talking about it during spring training. Their current GM or baseball ops was named David Stearns. Has said, well, we're working on it. We're not sure we're going to get something done, blah, blah, blah. He's already 30.
Right.
And I was on SportTrack. I was looking to see what the estimated contract for him would be. You want to take a guess?
25 million.
Oh, I was talking about the total, like years in
Oh,
total.
total. 30. He's age 30. So I guess 300 million.
Ooh, you were very close. The contract was 9 years, $297 million.
9 years, 297.
Yep. Was like, what's that, 32 something a year?
33.
33? All right.
Yeah.
You know, do math. Yeah.
Ooh, man. That's how it's one of those things where he's already 30. Do I want to pay him $33 million 9 years from now when he's 39 and barely getting around and probably 25 pounds heavier than he is now?
Oh,
He's already a
wow.
big boy.
Are we fat shaming?
Hey.
I thought we were about positivity.
Hey, I take a look in the mirror every day.
Wow. I gotta say, my problem with that deal isn't the money. Like $33 million, I wouldn't have a problem with. It's the length of years. If it was like a
Yeah.
6 year contract, I'd be fine with it. What's that? 6 times 33. What's that come out to?
6 times 33.
190,
198.
198. I bumped up to 200 million. 6 years, 200 million. I wouldn't have a problem giving him that much, but if he comes to me saying he wants 8, 9 years, he's gonna get the Cody Bellinger.
Right.
Well, let's come back to this later, buddy. Well, you agree? You agree? Disagree? 6 years, okay?
I could I would I could live with a 6-year, $200 million contract for that guy. I mean, look, he's definitely going to command $30 million a year, in that range, which, is fine. I mean, it's becoming the new norm for players. And he has the power in his bat to justify it and the consistency with that power to justify it. But 9 years is just too much. 5 or 6, I think, pay him all the money if you have to. But yeah, 9 is just way too much. 7 is too much.
Nice. A nice 6 with a player option. I'd go that. You get that. You can get that 7 year. Because by then the cap will grow so much that a $33 million contract in 2031 will be like a $22 million contract now. Like it's not as hindering as it's not as hindering as you think. All right. So the let me pull it up. The number for these New York Mets win total 84 wins.
Where did they get 84 wins?
Brother, I don't know.
Okay, under 84.
No, we just talked.
How did they have under 80 or over 84 wins, or how did they have 84 wins projected for New York and 80 wins for Miami?
I don't do the math, my friend.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't do the math. Okay. So I told you I wrote down all the odds on what was that? Last Saturday when we first did the podcast. I wanted to do them that day and just keep them straight throughout the year. Because the odds will fluctuate depending on injuries and stuff. Well, the Mets odds did fluctuate. It looks down like they went down to 82.5
Still too much.
because of the Senga injury, I suppose. So that rounds up to 83. So their odds basically went down 1 win.
Come on. I
Yeah,
don't
I'm with
believe
you.
that for a bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. We just talked about how terrible that starting pitching is. I'm taking under. I'm taking way under. I'm trying to think if I'm going to change that Marlins number. I might by the time we get to the end of this because I think the Marlins might be better than the Mets right now.
They're better than the Mets last year, and I think they're better than the Mets this year, pitching wise at least. Yeah.
Might change my mind if we get to the end. All right. Next team up, the Philadelphia Phillies. Finished 90-72 last year. They were second in the NL East, the fourth seed in the playoffs. Congratulations. They beat the Marlins in the wild card round, beat the Braves in the National League Division Series, but lost to the Diamondbacks in the NLCS, the Championship Series.
How do you do that?
So close yet so far. So both teams that made to the World Series in 2022 lost in their respective championship series in 2023.
It's for a good team still.
Yeah. So I think both of them are still good teams, but we're going to talk about this one today. Current payroll, estimated payroll for these Phillies, $261 million. They have, let me make sure I get the math right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 players making $20 million or more. Another team I love is like, we're just going to spend money and we're going to try to win championship by hook or by crook, baby. Oh, did you want to guess the 7 players?
Schwarber,
Yep.
Turner, Harper, Realmuto.
Yep.
What is that, four already?
Yep.
Castellanos.
Yes, that's the one I didn't think you were gonna get because he's like the under the radar guy. But yep, he makes 20
Yeah.
million.
Wheeler and Noah.
Correct. You got them all. Nice.
Yeah.
You weren't looking at Fangraphs, were you guys?
I am, but not their salary.
Okay, you're just looking at the roster.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, that's all seven. Nice work.
Look, this is a team that, yeah, played the Astros 2 years ago in the World Series.
They're
You
by
know,
far the best team that the Astros played in that run to the World Series, too.
right. I mean, they took it to them, and like the Astros made it to the League Championship Series last year. This is a team. Look, if you're a fan of the Astros, you have to keep an eye on the Phillies, even though it is a long ways away from them to meeting each other, you know, in the World Series. Like, it's a long season, and a lot has to happen. A lot has to go right.
Oh
This is
man.
still a team that you have to keep an eye on. You have to know what to expect. You have to know that this team is going to be good. They're going to be good this year again.
That's not what I expect you to say. I thought you said you're a fan of the Astros, you got to be a fan of the Phillies, because I am a fan of the Phillies.
Well, I'm not, but I
I am.
you know, I am very aware of what they've done, what they are capable of doing, and what they are doing in between, what they're doing in like en route to another playoff run.
Yeah, I think the Phillies are my, if the Astros can't win, I hope that team wins team. I really like all the moves they do. Like I like where they spend money. I like that they're trying to win. I like all their players and their like roughneck on the field abilities. Like I just like this really team. I like how they get down. So this off
Yeah.
season, they re-signed Aaron Nola to a 7-year, $172 million contract, like 5 minutes after the off-season started. Last week they signed Whit Merrifield, utility role. He'll get it's a 1-year contract, $8 million. They lost Rhys Hoskins to the Brewers, which we spoke about, and they also lost their closer, Craig Kimbrell. He signed with the Orioles.
Right. And look, this is a team that prepared for it. They were prepared for something like that. You lose Kimbrel, you got Jose Alvarado, who saved 20s. What did he do last year? Oh, 10 games, but he was still very good at the bullpen in 2023. And was a guy that they went to every single night during the World Series because he was damn good in the World Series.
Well, except for one pitch.
Right. Up until that one pitch, he was pretty damn good. Some you could say he kept him in the series up until that one pitch. So yeah, I mean, look, and he's what, 20, 28, 29. Kimbrel is into his mid to late 30s at this point. You know, it's a good time as any to transition into your next closer.
I'm sorry. You talk about Kimbrel being on, late 30s. Like, look at him. He's 37, the oldest closer in the game. He can respect him. Meanwhile, here we are at 37, 36 years old.
Hey, if I could transition into retirement at this age, I would.
Okay, fair. Because work is for the birds. Like, all right, you got me there.
And Rhys Hoskins, look, it worked out that Harper could play first base. And so, you know, you're still paying him a lot of money. He's still going to be around for a few more years. And it allowed you to sign Castellanos the year before while Hoskins was out. And your lineup is still very good. It's still a championship caliber lineup.
And also, what also helps them is they figured out how to play Castellanos in the outfield.
Right, because he was third base, was he not?
I believe so. But maybe
Yeah.
like he's a terrible outfield. Then they realize, oh, your problem is you can't go to your right, but you're excellent when you go to your left. So we're just gonna have you play like right center field. So anything that's hit to your left, you can catch. Anything that's hit to your right, our center fielder, who is Johan Rojas, he should be able to handle it.
Right.
And that worked out well. It was able, they freed up, they had it on Castellanos in right field, so Bryce Harper can stay at first base, which will help him health wise. He won't have to do all that running out in the outfield, crashing into fucking walls and shit like that. So yeah, still got Bryce Harper for what, another 55 years.
Pretty much.
So the only story I have for the Phillies is this: their year. They went to the World Series 2 years ago, got bounced. Last year, got bounced in the championship series. Is this the year that they can make a run at winning the World Series? It's not going to be easy by no means. Like the Braves, who we'll talk about in a minute, are still damn good. The Dodgers got better. And they got bounced last year by the Diamondbacks, a 6 seed. It's baseball. She like that happens. I think
Yeah, I
I've
mean,
said on this podcast multiple times, all you need is like two or three guys to get hot during the playoffs, and you can run all the way to the World Series.
it happens every year. I mean, that's guys that get hot and a strong bullpen.
I just really like this team, man. I think they're built for another deep run in the playoffs. And you know, they've beaten the Braves the last 2 years,
Yeah.
so they don't fear them at all. Like I remember during the 2022 World Series, someone had a tweet that was like, the Astros are this perfect instrument of death and destruction, and no team in their right mind would want to face them. Meanwhile, the Phillies are the physical manifestation of the "that sign can't stop me because I can't read" meme. That was almost my motto for them. That sign can't stop me. The Dodgers can't stop us because we can't read.
Holy moly. Here, I've got my motto for the Phillies.
Oh, I got mine too.
Phillies 2024. Can we win a division en route to making another World Series run?
Man, I don't think they need it. All they need is get in, baby.
Right. No. I mean, look, they've shown that they can. That's all they need. But at least the past 2 years, they have, been wild card teams. And look, this is still a good team. Are they good enough to win the division? Because
Maybe.
it makes it harder. It makes it harder to be a wild card team. It's not easy getting to the World Series as a wild card team. I mean, they did it, but you still got to fight and scratch and claw your way to it.
So my motto, I don't know if you ever saw this Marshawn Lynch interview where he was talking to, I don't remember what show it was, but he was talking to the interview. He was like, you just got to keep running into people, into the other guy's face over and over and over and over again, because not a lot of people are built to withstand that. And the interviewer was like, oh, is that a metaphor for something? And Marshawn Lynch looks at him and said, yeah, run through a motherfucker's face. That is my motto for these Philadelphia Phillies. Run through a motherfucker's face. They're here to bash home runs. The pitchers are going to throw the ball somewhere between 95 to 110 miles an hour. They're just going to go out there and just beat you constantly over and over and over again. And yeah, we're going to send Kyle Schwarber up there to hit first. He's going to be our leadoff man. And you know, he may hit 240, but you know what? He's going to luck into some dingers. He's going to hit 40 home runs.
Wait, did you say 240?
220.
Did you say 220?
What did he hit last year?
197.
Oh, whatever. He's hitting 197 with 47 home runs. He's going to hit dingers. We're,
Yeah.
you know what? On base percentage of 343, whatever. Do what you got to do. We're just going to get up there. We're gonna hit the hell of the ball. We're going to get our pitchers up there, starting rotation, bullpen. They're just going to throw the ball past you. And we're just going to keep doing that from game one to hopefully all the way to the World Series. We're just going, everybody, we don't care who the fuck is in our path, be it the Braves, be it the Dodgers, be it the Rangers, the Astros, the Orioles, the Yankees, whoever. We're just going to run through a motherfucker's face.
It seems to work. It seems to work the past, what, 2 years now? League Championship Series and World Series. Have a question about Trey Turner.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this has he hit his peak?
How old is Trey Turner?
He's 30, or he'll be 31 in June.
Trey Turner plays what, short, right?
Correct.
He may have a couple of years left.
That's
I think he's at his peak. Like he probably has like maybe 2, 3 more years of this kind of production, then it's gonna kind of slide down.
I ask because, he bugs me because he was on Washington in 2019 when they won. He was in Philly. Oh no, he was not in Philly. He was on the Dodgers in 2022.
He says that ain't my problem.
Right. But he's look, aside from annoying me in 2019, he's just been so good his entire career. It's like, how much bet can he get better, or is this as good as he's gonna ever be? And is he on, is he reaching that, that other side of the cliff?
Last year, he hit 26 home runs, 30 stolen bases, on base percentage of 320. And that he started off terrible last year. And he still did all that. All right. I think he has an even better year this year. I think he's a 30-30 guy. 30 home runs, 30 steals.
Yeah, that's annoying and it's scary. And it's just like, damn, this guy is just, he's that good.
He
I
said,
mean,
well, don't,
you can't hate a guy for being good, but
yeah, don't hate on him. He can't turn off his shine for you. Don't
Right.
be hating on my mans. All right, so moving over to the wins, over under. Oh, you're about to be mad. The over under for the Phillies, 84.
80, come on, man. What? Come on, it's got to be over 84. But they're projected to only win 84 games? That's just nonsense. They won 90 last year. How is this team getting 6 games worse than it was last year? They were in the league championship series.
I don't make the numbers, my friend. I just tell you what they are. You're about to throw stuff around. How is this happening? Like, I don't know. I'll be in the corner like a scared dog, shivering. Just like, oh, I don't know how it's happening. I don't control math. But we're both taking the over, right?
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. I think they're going to be up there with the Braves hovering around. I think they're going to be hovering around somewhere between 90 to 95 wins again.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the very least, 90 games, which they won last year. I mean, that's the very least they'll reach that.
All right. So let's wrap this up with the Atlanta Braves. Last year, finished 104-58, first in the East, number one seed in the playoffs. They lost in the NLDS to the, why the hell did I put Braves? What the hell? They lost to the Phillies.
The
See, kids, this is why it's very important to double check your work.
Phillies.
Then you, if you don't, you just end up on a podcast looking like an unprepared ninny. Their estimated payroll for this year, $270 million, which is crazy because everybody on this team is underpaid.
Right.
You talk about a team that annoys you. This is the Braves for me. They annoy the hell out of me because they're so
Course.
good, so young. They had all, like I said, everybody's playing for like $8 an hour. That's great. I made a reasonable suggestion that they should go after Shohei Ohtani, and I did the money and the math. Like, wow, they could afford him. Even without the crazy contract that the Braves, I mean the Dodgers did. If you look at this team, it's like they're, as long as they get it together in the playoffs and manage to avoid the Phillies, they could be the next baseball dynasty.
They got to get one more title.
Question,
One or two more.
because this has been going around for a while. What do you consider a dynasty?
Yankees of the late 90s, early 2000s, Patriots, and the current Chiefs of the
Like,
NFL.
do you have to win back-to-back titles to be considered a dynasty?
No, I think you have to win multiple titles. It's like, you know what? It's like baseball. What happens if you're a 300 hitter for your entire career? Oftentimes than not, 3 out of 10 hits, oftentimes you're getting into the Hall of Fame. I think if you're a 300 career, a 300, championship team in that, 10, 8 to 10 year window, I think that's enough for a dynasty.
So are you saying the Astros have to win another championship in order to be considered a dynasty?
Yeah. Because they've been to four, right? Five?
They've been to five. Won two, lost three.
Right. But that's been since that's but that's now a 20 year window. But within the last 10 years, they've been to four. And they've only won two. Look, it's harder to look, look, the Astros make as good an argument as anybody to be considered a dynasty without more than two titles because they've been to seven straight league championship series. Like that's look, if we're talking about league championship series dynasty, the Astros are it for sure.
We are not.
But if we're talking about World Series championship dynasty, I think they got to get one more. And I think, that's three titles in 7 years. That's a dynasty.
So you consider those Giants teams, the ones that won a title every other year. Are they a
Right.
dynasty?
Even numbered years.
Yeah, the even year bullshit. Are they, or do you consider them a dynasty?
No, I don't.
Oh, why is
And
that?
I need to, it's all like my thoughts are finally, it's all coming together again. Because if you look at the, you look at the Yankees, you look at the Patriots, you look at the Chiefs, within that given window, you know, if it's the Yankees, if you're looking at 10 years, or if you're looking at 6 years, whatever, they were in the World Series like almost every year. The Patriots in the Super Bowl, they won more than they lost, but they were still in the Super Bowl almost every year. And the Chiefs have been that way since they won their first one. I mean, they've been, you know, they lost to Tampa, they beat Philly, they beat San Francisco twice now. Did they lose to somebody else? I can't remember.
You know what's the best defense about the Giants, and we're trying to call them a dynasty?
What's that?
So they won the title in 10, 12, and 14.
Right.
11 and 12, they missed the playoffs completely. Like, I
11 and
don't think,
13.
huh?
11 and 13.
Yeah, 11 and 13, they missed the
Right,
playoffs.
exactly. And I, you know, I was going to look up to see where they were in that, you know, in those 2 years, if they were in the playoffs, if they were in the league championship series, or if they even made it back to the World Series those years. I didn't remember off the top of my head. But the fact that they didn't even make the playoffs those 2 years, they're out. You have to maintain consistency. And they didn't. But look,
This is
that's
crazy.
a
So
damn good run.
they won in 10, missed the playoffs in 2011, won it in 2012, missed the playoffs in 2013, won it in 2014, missed the playoffs in 2015. They made the playoffs in 2016. I'm pretty sure everyone back there was like, oh, it's not this shit again. But they lost in the division series against the Cubs. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was,
The Cubs team that won the title.
yeah, that was a good Cubs team. Yeah, no, I mean that's part of it. I mean, it doesn't mean a dynasty doesn't mean you have to win every single championship. You know, you don't have to win five in a row, but you have to put yourself in a position to compete, contend for a title year in and year out. And you, the time range, the time frame, that can be debated. That can be, that I'm not, you know, that's not I don't have a set number of years. I just threw out 10. That's just a nice even number. But if you want to go 7 years or 8 years, whatever you want to do, like that's fine. But you know, if you're competing in more of those years than not, or all of them, then yeah, I think you could be considered a dynasty.
All right, just wanted to ask. Let's get back
Sure.
to these Atlanta Braves. And I agree with you. I think you can call the Astros a dynasty, what they've done the past 7 years. The Braves, like, they still have some work to do. They're getting the playoffs, but they haven't gone deep. They didn't go deep last year. And then 2020, I think they made it to the championship series against the Phillies.
No, not 2020.
I'm sorry, 2022. My bad.
2022? Yeah. I believe so.
So they need a couple more deep runs, another ring or two, to make that dynasty talk into a reality. All season move for these Braves. They traded their infield prospect slash player Vaughn Gresham to the Red Sox for starting pitcher Chris Sale. They also made a trade with the Mariners for Jarred Kelenic, making a already dangerous team more dangerous, dangerouser. Man, you look at this team. They got no weaknesses when it comes to offense.
No, I
Like,
mean,
everybody is a headache.
1 through 9 is just ridiculous. It's just
Yeah.
not even fair or funny when you look at 1 through 9.
Yeah, the game cheating when you got a pitch against the Braves, man.
Yeah.
You lead off with the reigning MVP, Acuna, and then follow up with Albies, Austin Riley, who might be the most underrated third baseman in the league right now. And then Matt Olson. Matt Olson hit like what, 50 home runs last year?
I believe so.
54. Marcell Ozuna hit 40.
Yeah, and didn't he get pulled over for DUI?
I remember that happening. I can't remember
Or is that
exactly.
2022?
Look, Marcell Ozuna is not a great person. He'll hit the hell out the ball, but not a person you want to hang out with after the game.
Not someone I'm looking to go have drinks with. Not anymore, at least. I think we're.
Michael Harris the second, the young center fielder, almost had a 2020 season last year. He had 18
Jeez.
home runs, 20 stolen bases. Hit 293 with a 331 on base percentage. God.
They got the last remaining good player from Oakland after 2022. Sean Murphy. And he was still a good hitter in Atlanta. Go figure. A good player who played for a bad team suddenly goes to a good team and is still a good hitter. Like,
Wow,
what are the odds of that
what's this lineup protection? Whoa.
happening?
I don't have to press every time I come up to bat. It's gonna be a breeze. Only question I have about this Braves team is their starting pitching.
Yes,
Because we saw
definitely looking starting.
last year at the end of the season going to the playoffs, all they had was Spencer Strider, Max Fried, and I believe he was coming back from an injury, and Bryce Elder. That's all they had because Charlie Mer Morton was injured. Who else was hurt on that team? It
Did
was
they not
not.
go get Jake Odorizzi at one point?
Yeah, they had Odorizzi for a minute. Check that team. Doo-doo-doo. Pitching. Come on, Baseball Reference. Don't fail me now. No, I think Odorizzi was the year before because the Astros traded Odorizzi to the Braves in 2022 for a left-handed reliever that we didn't use.
AJ Minter, no, he was a reliever.
Michael Soroka, what happened? Was
He's
he
always
the?
been hurt.
Yeah.
Kyle Wright got hurt. He was supposed to be part of the. Oh no. I guess not. He was supposed to be part of the rotation. He's been supposed to. He has been supposed to be a part of this rotation for years, but he has never pitched more than 17 innings in a season.
God. Kyle Wright. Jake
Oh no,
Odorizzi.
wait, that's I'm sorry, that's spring training.
Yeah, that's on Odorizzi 2022.
He had 22 wins in 2022, 21 wins in 2022, Kyle Wright, and then he was hurt last year. And they were hoping he would continue from that 20, that 2022 campaign. He would be a big part of that, and he wasn't.
Now he's currently on the Royals.
Whew. Whatever you do, don't piss off the Atlanta Braves while they're trying to build a dynasty. You will get sent to Kansas City. You won't even think twice.
Oh, you're not gonna pay for $7 an hour? Oh, we got the right team for you. Is Sorokin the guy I'm thinking about? The one who tore his Achilles, got better, then tore it again right after he came back? Okay,
Yes.
God. Thank you.
Soroka and Wright were supposed to be the other young guys in the rotation that,
And Soroka is with the White Sox now. All right. I just can't think about being in a meeting, in front office being like, our pitching staff wasn't healthy last year. You know who can fix that? Chris Sale.
Chris, motherfucking sale.
I like that trade for both teams. Boston needed someone in the infield for them because they don't seem to want to spend any money. We'll talk about them, believe you
Oh,
me.
yeah.
And Atlanta gets a guy who is ace-like, who has won Cy Youngs in the past. It's just, he's great when healthy.
And he's going to a good team. So we haven't seen that from Chris Sale in a long time. We haven't seen him start the season, with a good team behind him.
This from The Athletic. Sale indicated Saturday that he'd been completely healthy this offseason for the first time since 2018.
That when he signed the contract?
After he got traded to Boston.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We traded.
Yeah, because he was with the White Sox for a while too.
But also, I mean, I'll try and put a positive spin on it. If you're a young guy like Spencer Strider and a young guy like Bryce Elder and a now sort of veteran, but still kind of young because he's been hurt. Like Max Fried, having a Charlie Morton and Chris Sale in the middle of your rotation, towards the end of your rotation, to kind of help guide you, it's not bad. I mean, I've seen worse rotations, so far in our analysis,
Yeah, I
in our
was about to say,
predictions.
we talked about them. They're in the NL Central.
Right. Charlie Morton is just defying all of the odds at this point, being an effective 40-year-old pitcher. And, I'm not saying Chris Sale is going to be the Chris Sale of old, the one that, was good enough for a $200 million contract. But let's see what he still has left healthy. And again, with a good team playing behind him, which is again something we haven't seen in a long time for him.
We forgot
Those.
about, oh, I was gonna say, we forgot about one of the Braves starting pitcher, Ian Anderson. Yeah, Tommy John surgery last year. Hopefully we'll be back sometime in the middle of the season.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You're hoping that Chris Sale can bring. You just need 1 year, one good year, Chris
That's
Sale,
all you need.
to
Yeah.
bring home a championship.
You don't re-sign Charlie Morton and you don't bring on Chris Sale for a long time. You're just here for a good time.
Hopefully
And
that
listen.
time ends with a parade.
Right.
I think the biggest story with the Braves is just what happens in the postseason. The Braves are one of those teams like the Dodgers, like the Astros. It's like the regular season is there just for you to get tuned up for your postseason run. Can they make it back to the World Series? Will the Phillies upset them once again? Are the Dodgers, the real threat in the NL? We're going to find out going into the season pretty soon.
Here before you know it.
2024 motto for these Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves 2024. Let's do it again.
I'm stealing this from a certain Georgia boy in wrestling. 2024, finish the story.
Okay. Hey, yeah, okay. I like it.
Get that chip, baby. Prove that you're the next team up. Prove that you're the team that everybody should worry about, not the Dodgers.
Can I be honest with you?
Yo.
I honestly thought you were gonna make a joke at AJ Styles being a flat earther
Oh, no.
when you mentioned that other Georgia boy. But the Cody Rhodes line makes all the more sense than anything you could have come up with about mock or trying to mock AJ Styles.
How many times do you think they had to tell AJ that he wasn't going to fall over the face of the earth if he flew to Australia? 16, 17 times? What's the number? Like, I swear, AJ, you're going to be just fine.
They're still having to remind him.
So, the number for these Braves, win total 101.
Whoo.
That's not the largest in baseball. That's not even the largest in
Yeah.
the National League.
I think 101, I would say under. I think this team is good. Offensively, this team is just ridiculous. But we also have to consider that Ronald Acuña Jr. might not hit 40 home runs and steal 73 bases again. He could very well do 40 and 40. Matt Olson might not hit 54 home runs again. He could hit 47, 48 for sure. Marcell Ozuna might not hit 40 home runs. Certainly could hit 35. Projected to hit 31. Look, these were historic years, that individual seasons that a lot of these guys on the Braves team had in 2023. And collectively, it was just a historically offensive season for them. But everybody in some capacity takes a step back the next year. When you make history like that, I don't know if you're gonna make history, top your history making exactly 1 year later. So I could definitely see them not winning over 101 games. I think that might be even too much for them this year. Still be a very good team, but definitely under 101.
I'm gonna agree with you. The more you spoke, the more I was like, yeah, that sounds right. Even if they win 99 games, that's an under, but that's still a very impressive season.
Course.
It's like 5 games worse than last year, but still, that would make them either the first or second seed going into the playoffs again. I think you're right when you say certain players are going to take a step back, but you got to remember they Michael Harris, like he had that season he had last year. What if he has another step? Jarred Kelenic, what if he can find another level now that he's no longer in that cavernous ballpark in Seattle?
Right.
There's some players are going to step up. I think some of the young guys in the 6 through 9 spots are going to step up.
It's like your top guys, Cunha, Riley, even Olson, Ozuna, they don't have anything to prove in the regular season, right? They have nothing left to prove. But they're good enough anyways to still be very good during the regular season, right? Where like you said, you have guys like Harris and Kalenic who are, who could be the guys to, take that next step while everybody else is taking a step back, but still being very good in the process. Like, our full step back is their quarter step back. Yeah.
All
It's a
right.
shuffle.
Let's go over all these over-unders before we got here. Nationals is 58 wins. We both went over. The Marlins at 80 wins. I went under. You went over. Mets, 84 wins. We both went under. Phillies, also 84 wins. We both went over. And the Braves, 101 101 wins. We both took the under. So, who do you have winning this division?
Ooh, man, this might be the tough, well, no. Yeah, this might be the toughest division to pick. And we still have the NL East, AL East to talk about. I'm gonna go with Philly. I
Wow,
picked them
okay.
to go over 84 wins. I didn't predict how many wins they would win, but based off of what we were talking about with Atlanta, I mean, it's going to take 95, plus to win. If they were to do that, any like if the, if you know if they were to finally take that step forward and win the division, this, I think, could be the year to do it.
Okay, understood. I'm just sticking with the Braves. They're too talented.
Sure. I mean, look, it is a part of me also had to pick Philly just so we could, have something to debate, something to contrast each other with.
Oh, yeah, I understand. All right. Anything else, my man?
No, man, we're getting closer and closer. I'm getting that baseball fever is starting to ramp up more and more as we do more of these. So I'm excited.
Good.
And I watched a spring training game, like half of a spring training game this afternoon, which, most of these guys aren't going to be on the main roster, the start of the season, which is fine, but it's just good to see some baseball, going again,
Yes, sir, I agree with you. All right, so we're back next week talking about the National League West. Then once we wrap that up, we'll give out all our playoffs teams, our award winners, and we'll also pick who we would think would be the best player out of each division. So, Anthony,
Sounds good.
thank you for being here, man. Enjoyed talking to you, like always.
Definitely.
For everyone listening, thank you for downloading, listening, sharing. We appreciate it very much. If you could, wherever you receive this fine podcast, please leave us a review. 5 stars, no 4 stars. Don't hurt our egos, please. And that's it for us. Like I said, back next week, NL West. We're going to show some love to the team. We're going to hate the team and dodge a blue. Oops, I gave it away.
Yeah,
And just have fun. All right, until next week. He's Anthony. Now I'm like self-conscious because I have to go to the restroom to get out of here. But Anthony, I'm the Quincy. Laters.